Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the wonderful back and forth weather. Just when you thought it was going to be winter in Savannah, it turns spring in Savannah, and then it turns fall in Savannah. So we can have all three in a week, can't we? This week, I am going to spend a little time with you back on the subject that I began last Sunday, which had to do with us being in line with God's purpose and His plan. So we're using this analogy or this metaphor of alignment. And we talked last week about some significant points in the life of a believer where we can definitely see that the things that are being described can be matched with that idea of alignment. For instance, when a person comes to faith in Christ, the idea is that once you were without Christ, essentially you were not in line with His plan and purposes. And when you come to faith in Christ, however that happens, and we talked about the complexities of describing that sometimes, not the reality of it, but how to describe it. We just can't get it into words sometimes. We have our analogies. But then we come into alignment with His plan and His purpose when that happens in our lives. Then we talked about how we maintain that. And we went to 1 John chapter 1, and we talked about the ramifications of needing to constantly find that alignment with God's purpose and plan. And that has to do with confession and repentance and seeking Him and being in front of Him in our daily lives and then walking that as we go from that place. So we talked about the time, the inception. We talked about maintenance. We talked about the mission. It was the way we talked about it. So we got conversion, mission, and maintenance. So today we're going to look at personality and impact. That there's a time, if all these things are true, then the next thing that it says that's true is that our personalities are supposed to be in alignment with a particular personality. And what particular personality might that be? Okay? Jesus, right? You've heard, let's go to the passage and then I'll say all those things that I have told you so many times before. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. We're going to look at 5 and 6 also. So this is the first half of it, and we'll then hop to the second. So Peter's telling us His divine power, okay, God's divine power, has given us everything that we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness, and Him who did that is Jesus, right? Okay. Through these, His glory and His goodness, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them, you, and we'll say me, us, may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by its evil desires. So before we hop to the second slide, we see very clearly, again, this description of what happens when we come to faith in Christ, that we're lined up with His purpose and plan. And now it goes so deep in us that not only is it just an ascension to a fact that we believe by faith that Christ was raised from the dead, but now this fact, this reality, and the promises that come to us through Christ Jesus are supposed to manifest themselves in our lives so that the person of Christ is who lives in us and through us and comes out of us when we get squeezed. Okay? So we go to the second part of this. For this very reason, all those things we just said, we're supposed to make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. Now, Peter says that these things should be true, and the reason why I believe that these things should be true is because these are the things that Jesus exhibited. Characteristics, qualities, personality traits, however you want to say it. Okay? Certainly it's not an exhaustive list. These are things that ought to exist in us because they existed in Jesus. Especially when difficult times came, persecution, He was either tempted or He was persecuted or He was crucified. These are the things that we see coming out of Him. I'm going to ask you what I've told you and asked you many times before. What is God's highest purpose for you and me? His purpose and plan for us is that we become like Jesus. It's not that we be comfortable. It's not that we be wealthy. It's not even necessarily that we be well. The reality is, even though He's with us in all those, and sometimes He grants and blesses us with those things, the truth is, what happens in our lives, what He allows in our lives, He wants to see those things work together in us so that we will become more like Jesus. Any of those other promises that people will tell you exist out there are lies. Because God didn't He let some things happen to Jesus that were not desirable? If we were to pick ourselves, I think I would like to be scourged. Thank you very much. No. We're not there. The reality is, what we're supposed to do is understand that those things that God allows to come at us or be in our lives are there for us so that we trust Him and we learn to be more like Jesus and let Jesus come through us in our lives as we engage the world, since we're the light of the world. So, how has your personality changed since you became a disciple of Jesus? See, if we're going to come into alignment, we're going to say this is something that's important, and we're going to say that change is a part of it, then how are we different? Now, there's days, I'm going to tell you, where I get anxious, but you all do not know what I was like before Jesus. I was an anxious wreck of a child. I was constantly worried about what other people thought, about what was going to happen, and about not being able to control what was going to happen tomorrow. I was a wreck. Felt like I had a concrete block in my gut most of the time. And then, in order to try to deal with that in my life, I tried to over-control things because I hated not being able to control or know what was going to happen. So those were personality traits that whenever I came to Christ, I had to allow Him to begin to remove in my life and change. Where now, it's funny, my kids and sometimes even Regina will say, you don't ever show any emotion much. I do. I get silly and then it freaks everybody out because I'll get real silly out of nowhere. And it's kind of like, where'd this come from? I've changed. Yeah, and we're all different in that, but I'm not who I was then. I'm so different than I was then. I'm so thankful because now I care what other people think about and I'm not just worried about me. How have you changed? How is your personality who you are? It's not that you lose everything. You don't lose all your personality traits, do you, when you come to Christ? But they get changed and they get transformed. And those that need to die, die. Because He said we're supposed to take up our cross, die to ourselves, right? And follow Him. And when we do that, there's things that get removed and there's things that get bolstered and changed and encouraged and grown. How are you different? Any testimonies? How are you different? So could you hear what Terry said? In the work world, before she came to Christ, she had bitterness, short-tempered, and then, competitive and all those kind of things. Note and lack of submission. Ooh, what a big lesson. Okay. Summarize. Can y'all hear that? Got convicted. Basically, the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit came to live in him, he began to be convicted about the way he dealt with people and how he interacted with people. He thought about himself as salt and light, never thought about how he impacted anybody else's life. Anybody else? Something changed in your personality, you think? You're not paranoid if they really are after you. Well, we need the leash to be tugged if we're being selfish or we're sinning. We obviously need somebody there to let us know that. Holy Spirit does that, and then believers do that in our lives too, to help us see where we are. And I think that goes in line with what Jacob was saying as well, being self-aware. It's the idea of what the Holy Spirit does in our lives, convicting us of the changes that need to be made. Right. There's a lot of things that fold into personality. Personality has to do with the way that we interact with others, or lack of interacting with others, or the way that we respond emotionally. It has to do with behaviors. It has to do with attitudes. All those things sort of fold into, what makes up our personality. So whenever I use the word personality, I'm kind of using it in a broad way to describe, how we describe or think of ourselves, how God thinks of us, and then how other people see us. All of that kind of folds together in those areas. And the thing that we need to remember is that God really does expect us to cooperate with the change that's supposed to be taking place in our lives to be more, for us to be more like Jesus. We're not passive. It's not magical. There's no one that can pronounce, you know, a particular prayer over us that can make us all of a sudden to be like Jesus. If you look at what 1 Peter said there in 5 through 9, you can see that there's the idea that we are supposed to be engaged in this. We add faith, add goodness to faith, and knowledge to goodness, and self-control, which is really hard. We're supposed to add that. Okay? We cooperate. It's not like, okay, God, just give me self-control. Come on now. We have to be the ones who engage and cooperate. Now, before, you know, just to make sure we stay away from the ragged edge, one thing we're not doing is we're not talking about God making us more moral. Or, I mean, if we're in Christ and we become more like Jesus, we will be more along the lines of the standard that God has for us in terms of moral. But the purpose of who we are is not that we just become better people. Okay, this is not, you know, we're not gathered here for self-help. We're here because we're worshiping the Lord God who has done something in our lives, reaches out to us, has loved us, and is still doing something in our lives so that we become more like Jesus, and then we go out and transform the world. Because that's what He's doing. That's a whole lot different than those that want to go out there and preach self-help and let's make moral munchkins. You know, that's not what we're about, okay? But all of us are in this continuum of becoming more like Jesus. And the reason why God gives us to one another is so that we can help each other become more like Jesus. That's the plan. All right. Personality. So, who we are, what we do, what we think, all of that. Before I leave this, I want to ask one more question that I want you to think about. What about, and Terry, I think, kind of went there, what about being a pre-Christian have you discarded? So, you're more like Jesus now, you're going to be more like Jesus in the future, but what, since you, before you came to faith in Christ, what about you has been discarded? Now, here's this weird thing that I want to talk about for a second. If we're going to come to Christ and we're going to take up our crosses and follow Him, that means the things that should not exist in our lives stay dead. The things that should be in our lives get resurrected when we're new creatures. What have you had to say, nope, that stays dead? And sometimes we have to remind ourselves that, because those things do try to climb back up, creep back up from the dark recesses, and we just have to say, nope, that's dead. That's real, folks. At least that's what I understand to be real. You know, that we can't just assume that those things that we know we've discarded will never try to rear their heads again. But what are some of those things that you've discarded? Selfish ambition. Okay? Hey, did you hear that? About praying first, praying as a foundation, and then letting God direct instead of trying to decide everything on your own, determine a path. Anybody else? Yes, learning how to be gracious with other people. Yes, I think you're right. Kids need structure, and so we put people on, whenever we're kids, we put people on pedestals because we need them. We need the clear lines of demarcation. And then whenever they let us down, we get angry, we get upset, our world gets shaken. All right, so we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be more like Jesus. We're supposed to be changed, and we are changing all the time. All right, let's talk about impact for a little while. Our impact, the impact that we have in the world, is also supposed to come into alignment with God's purpose. Okay, so at conversion, in our mission, in the way we maintain our relationship with God, in our personality, and now in the way that we leave a footprint in the world, it's supposed to line up with God's purpose. Jesus said in John 14, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." I don't know about you, but I always have a tough time with that, just being honest. Because I want to see the stuff coming out of my life. I want to see stuff that looks anywhere near as cool and as lasting as what Jesus did come out of my life. And Jesus said that's what's going to happen. Which means that our impact, the footprint we leave in life, should be like the one that Jesus left. So what kind of impact did you have before Jesus? I know we don't like to dwell on that part. And we won't for long, I promise. See if you agree with me on this. And I'm going to tell you, I'm throwing it out there to see kind of where we how we chew on it. Okay. I'm not so sure that before Christ, if number one, we don't care how we impact others, or we deny that we impact others. We like to think that we can live on an island unto ourselves, and what we do is, number one, nobody else's business, that it doesn't affect anybody else, and we live that way. And that what happens is whenever we come to Christ, all of a sudden we find out that our lives really do have an impact. They do leave impressions, whether we like it or not, whether it's good or not, whether it's godly or not. And we were not aware of that until we came to Christ and we began to see things the way the Holy Spirit revealed them to us, as this is the way that it really is, not what you thought. Well, it is kind of interesting how when we believe that it's not about us is when we actually have the opening to have a larger impact in the world. It's really kind of interesting, I think. You think we're more natural? I think we're freed up because we no longer have to defend ourselves or protect ourselves or advance ourselves. We let God take care of that and we just do what He tells us to do, what He leads us to do, and we're free. So here's a good question. What kind of impact has God allowed you to have since the change that came when you were made alive? You became a new creature. What's changed? What kind of impact have you had since then? I'm not asking for you to crow about yourself. That's not the deal. It's a matter of what good stuff has God done. Facebook's a cool thing. I think it would be really cool if there was, no, don't get me wrong, I don't really want anybody to do this, but think of a heaven's Facebook where you get to see people whose lives, your life has intersected at some point. And you get to read those things 20 years later. Some of those things happen on the real Facebook, but just think of what that could be like. You know, being on Facebook, I'm so old. That's why she likes me to grow this thing, because she likes to see the gray. Okay, it makes her feel good because she can tell me I'm old. But guys that I coached in the 80s at Chamblee High School, my alma mater, and to see their posts on Facebook now, and whenever your name gets included in somebody that influenced their lives, and it's not just because you coached them in wrestling or football or baseball, but because they knew that you stood for Jesus. Ain't nothing better. And that's a gift to be able to see that, because you don't ever know. You don't know what people catch, but you trust that God does something because He told you to do it or He gave you the opportunity to do it. So whenever you have chances like that, it just reinforces for you the good things, the impact, that there's more than just that. even though that may be all you get to see or taste. I believe God wants every one of us to experience better than that. He wants us to know the power of what He said in John 14:12. You and I might not think we resurrected anybody from the dead, although Kennedy, Dr. O'Keary over there, could probably say he's probably seen that happen once or twice somewhere. I haven't, as far as I know. But we have seen captives released. We have seen people healed. We have seen lives changed. And we somehow minimize those things when Jesus says those are things that are about as great as what He did. So is it misalignment when we doubt that God can use us to accomplish His purposes? Which means we need to get back in alignment. Because we can have an impact. We do have an impact. All right. Now, I told you that I would not ignore the fact that while we were discussing, that the reality too is that we could talk about relationships being brought back into reconciliation also along this metaphor of alignment. That when relationships are broken, someone's been sinned against, someone needs to forgive somebody, that that also very well fits into this discussion that we've been having about being brought back into alignment with God's purposes. And I haven't really had a chance to talk about that because I didn't think about it till we were into it last Sunday. But that is also very consistent with what we see in Scripture. All right. So has this started out the year in a good way for you? Thank you for helping teach one another, speaking of what God has shown you, given you experience to share. So thank you for that. All right. Let's pray. Father, I pray that through this week that You'll help us to meditate and receive from You direction about places in our lives where we need to be in alignment with You. Lord, maybe it is in our relationships and there's things that need to be mended. Maybe we do need to do a better job of maintaining our relationship with You and being lined up with the way that You see the world and that You perceive even what our lives are about. Or Lord, maybe there's things in our personalities and our behaviors and our attitudes that You're going to reveal to us that we really need to cooperate with You to see changed so that we'll be more like Jesus. Lord, whatever those things are, I'm asking that You'll give us the grace to see so that we can cooperate with You so that that alignment and our lives will be lined up with what You're doing. Thank You for caring about us enough to never leave us alone and to continue to pursue us with Your love and Your grace and Your mercy. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.